Good morning, everybody. And hopefully my voice will last today. I was smiling last week, and I was saying Tiana after the service, she prayed for Peter Hall before he preached. And she said, "I don't know, Lord, if he's suffering any nerves, but please take his nerves away." And I said to her, "That's a prayer the Lord's still to answer for me." Surely a prayer the Lord's still to answer for me. But it's good to be in the Lord's house today, and I hope that what I'm saying comes across, because it's been a long time in the making, this preach. Stevie asked me, I look back at my text, and it was the 17th of November when he texted me and asked me if I would speak at the carol service and today. I went back and I said, well, I'll speak it on the 18th, but I said, I need to pray about the carol service. That's always my answer. I think I'll be spiritual, and I'll say, I'll need to pray about it, you see. So I went back and I said, yeah, that'll be fine. So I immediately go into prayer and ask the Lord, well, what is it I have to speak on? So that went past. So as soon as that was finished, I said, right, Lord, I've got the 18th to go now in February. You need to give me something to speak on. Christmas Eve passed, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was awakened, and I was wakened wide awake. But the Lord's voice, very, very clear, very, very clear. And it was just this phrase, the hands of Jesus. Well, let me tell you, I was wide awake. I was wide awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, because it was so clear, the hands of Jesus, and that has never left me. And every day since, I've walked, I've prayed. It's literally been on my heart every single day since then, and prayed and prayed and prayed. So today, that's really just about three kind of mini sermons in one, but there is a theme going through it. And as I lay in bed in the dark, I thought, well, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock. I lay in bed in the dark at 4 o'clock. And that phrase kept, the Lord kept repeating it and repeating it. And I started to think, well, what does that mean? By 5 o'clock, I was downstairs writing down notes. And that's fortnight. And I've prayer walked day in and day out, wondering what he's asking me to say. And as I thought about the hands of Jesus, I started to think about what that meant to me. And the first thing I thought about was the hands of a child, because Jesus didn't just grow up. He was a child, he was a baby, he was a child, so he knew how it was to be a child. He knew what it was to be like to be a young person, a teenager. He knew how, and then he had work-worn hands. You never think of that. Do you work-worn hands? He was a carpenter. So I think of Jesus' hands as being calloused and rough and worn, but able to create beautiful things. He carried on. He was there at the creation, and he carried on through his work as a carpenter, creating beautiful things. He had compassionate, nurturing hands. He nurtured. He loved people. He nurtured. He had compassionate hands. He had healing hands. He had miracle-working hands, hands of provision, hands of justice, obedient, sacrificial hands, protective hands, holy hands, and you could probably add some to that yourself. And it's just some of the things that I thought about. And today we're going to think about three of these, well, four of them actually. And the first one I want to look at is nurturing hands, compassionate hands, the hands of a child. And I'm looking at very familiar verses. You know, I'll put wee notes in here and I'll probably forget where they have to go in. It's Matthew chapter 19. I'm looking at, first of all, 13 and 14. And it says, then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed on his hands on them, he went on from there. The parents were bringing their children to Jesus. They knew how special Jesus was. But before they even got the chance, his own disciples rebuked them and told them they couldn't go. But they were the ones who ended up being rebuked, because Jesus said, bring the little children, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I think if you go to Mark's gospel, the same chapter says that we should all become like little children, or we won't enter the kingdom of God. We're all God's children. Doesn't it matter? I'm the child of God. You know, we're all God's children. I'm the child of God. And I wondered, why did they rebuke them? Why did the disciples do that? I don't know. They must have thought, well, Jesus is tired. He's sacrificed his time. The crowds keep following him. We can't go anywhere, but the crowds come. I don't know what their reasoning was. But Jesus very clearly said, no, suffer the little children to come to me. And I don't know what you think when you look at the children who come into your church every Sunday. I just look and see so much potential. So much potential in every child. All different, but they're all got potential. And it's up to us to nurture that potential, to mentor them, to look after them, to nurture it. And I believe, you know, that God's got his hands on our young people. And he's got something amazing to do through them. And I just believe, actually, that God is going to use our children and our young people in miraculous ways in this generation. And children in our church as well. I can see it in my own grandchildren, the way that they pray. It's incredible for their age. And other children, you know, the grandchildren want to pray for the kids in their school because it's amazing. And I really believe God's going to do something amazing in this generation. A few weeks ago at the prayer meeting, it was the prayer meeting for the chaplaincy. I didn't pray. But we're praying for the chaplaincy and for the kids in the school. And all I kept getting was ignite a spark. That was all I got, ignite a spark. And I'm sitting there, I listen to everybody praying. I think, Lord, what does that mean? Ignite a spark. And as I prayed about it the next morning, the Lord then says, and fan the flame. Ignite the spark and fan the flame. And that's what, you know, I believe that's what the Lord's going to do. But we need to pray that in. We need to nurture the kids. We need to mentor them. We need to let them feel valued. That they're not just nuisance. You know, they're valued. And then the prayer meeting for the prodigals, the other week there, Bobby Sim, I thought you've been reading my notes the last few weeks in the prayer meeting with things you've said. Bobby asked us to pray specifically for the young adults in our church. And when he was praying, I was speaking to Bobby about this last week, he mentioned them being bridge builders. And I could not believe, I had actually goosebumps in my arms, because that very morning, as I'm praying over my message, I said, Lord, what else is it you want me to say here? What else? And he said to me, bridge builders. And immediately I knew what he was talking about. Because about 20 plus years ago, Gillian was at the Lydia thing, and she asked me if I would go and speak at a Lydia Day. And it was at Wester Hills Baptist Church of Scotland, I remember where it was. And they asked me to do a talk in the afternoon for the young people and the youth about what I felt God was saying then. And it was Bridge Builders was the title that I gave it. I couldn't find my notes on it, but I found the Bible study, the prayer points for it. And it was so long in the thing, they were sticking together, actually, the sheets. And this is what, this was all these years ago, and Bobby actually mentioned that in his prayer 2 weeks ago. And it was Bridge Builders. And this is what I got. One, bridging the gap. A bridge crosses a divide and offers us a chance to reach somewhere new. Pray that our young people will be allowed the freedom to express what God has gifted in them, to reach their peers in a way to bridge the gap. You know, you young adults, you're the ones that will bridge the gap to your generation. You know, and our young people, our primary school, you are the ones that can bridge the gap with your generation. You know, we don't need to be older. You know, even our primary school kids can. You know, I was reading, I came across a thing where I was thinking about this, ignite a spark, fan the flame. I came across something online, and it's a very not a well-known revival. It started in Poland in 1707, and it was primary school kids who took it in their hearts to pray in the local park. Because there was a thing there between Lutheran and Roman Catholics. And these kids, twice a day, would go into the park and they would pray, and revival hit. And the authorities thought, we need to stop this. We need to stop this. This can't go on. So they sent people in to stop it. But when these people heard the children play, they couldn't. You know, that's the power that God is going to put in our young children. Then the strength. A bridge needs to be strong. Pray for strength for all that God demands our young people. You know, I don't know about you, but when we were at school, we'd never had the peer pressure that young people are under nowadays. You hear it in the television, and it actually horrifies me, some of the things that young people are having to put up with. We need to pray for strength for our young people. We need to have their back. flexibility, that they will allow themselves to be stretched by God, to be able to keep learning and changing as God asks. Get into the Word, young people, get into the Word of God. That's where you'll find everything. Expansion. A bridge needs room for movement. It needs to expand when it gets very hot. And I pray that when the pressure comes, they will be able to cope and make room for growth. Lights. A bridge needs lights for safety. And I pray that they will know very clearly the direction that God is taking them in, to be constantly watching and listening for God, so that they will be lights in the darkness. And this will show you how long ago I wrote this, because you still had toll booths and bridges. You still had toll booths and bridges. And you had to pay to cross the bridge. Pray for a total surrender to God's will for their lives, that whatever the cost to their faith, they will remain strong and they will be totally obedient to the call of God. Jesus sacrificed everything. And he said, this is the theme that will go through the three things today, is sacrifice. And then investment. We need to invest in our young people. We need to nurture them, give them responsibility, prayer support, financial backing even, and encouragement to keep going. And that was what the Lord gave me. And it says in Isaiah 44, verse 3, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. I don't know how that makes you feel, but me as a mother and a grandmother, I'm taking that verse. I'm taking that verse and I'm running with it. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. So please pray and encourage our young people and our children every day. Please pray and encourage them. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. The next hands that I felt the Lord saying to me was hands of justice. And we're going to read from Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13. Am I at the right thing here? Yeah, we are. And it's Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it into a den of robbers. Hands of justice, or angry hands. It was interesting when Stevie was given the interpretation there. He said, God doesn't get angry. God's not angry with you. Well, in this situation, Jesus was angry at what they were made the temple of the Lord into. And why did he clear the temple? Because Jesus, the money changers and the merchants had made it into a marketplace. They were making it difficult for the Gentiles who had come from all over the world to worship God. They'd all come in. And these people, I think I read that you had to have a Roman coin to get into the temple. And of course, if you didn't know the exchange rate, well, that's why it was called a den of thieves, because the money changers were robbing people. They were shortchanging them. And they were making it very difficult for the people to get in. So Jesus overturned the tables and scattered the goods and money. And, you know, there's a difference, big difference between uncontrolled anger and righteous indignation, standing up for justice. There's a huge difference. And Jesus quoted from the verse from Isaiah 56, which says, my house shall be called a prayer for all nations, but you are making it into a den of robbers. John's account of this gospel, this passage in chapter 2, quotes Jesus as saying, zeal for his house consumes me. And that was, you'll read that in one of the Psalms as well. That was zeal for his house that consumes him. And Jesus, John 12, 49 says, but I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus never said anything that the Father didn't tell him to say or do anything that Father didn't tell him to do. So Jesus didn't just go in and upturn the temples. His Father told him that's what he had to do. Nikki Gumbel wrote this. I've started doing the Bible in a Year by Nikki Gumbel. I've done it before, but this is a new one. And he wrote this the other day: their confrontation is never easy, but they're a necessary part of God, of good and courageous leadership. We need to stand for justice. Stand for justice for your kids in school. You know that they're getting taught stuff now that, you know, that we don't want to. So stand up for justice. You know, make your voice heard from a Christian standpoint. I've done it in the past. When my kids were at school, wrote letters and said, no, that's not acceptable. And the Lord answered prayer, let me tell you. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus refers to justice and mercy. Micah 6 and 8 says, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And you know, when, hope I'm going to be able to do this. When I was out walking the other day, I was praying over this bit, and there was somebody the Lord put in my heart. And even this morning I was praying, and the Lord said, honour this person, honour this person. And today I just felt the Lord saying, Gillian, you're up the back. The Lord wants to honour you this morning. Because as I was praying, for the Lord put in my mind all the years that Gillian did fair trade. She did fair trade, promoting the for poor farmers to get a good price, our fair trade coffee mornings, trade craft, all these things. And often you'd come into the church on a Sunday morning, Gillian would be standing at the door with her clipboard and her bit of paper, with tear fund or something, you know, had something they wanted us to sign that they would send to Parliament. Gillian just didn't sit. She put that into action. She put justice into action. And Gillian, this morning, the Lord wants to honour you and say thank you for that. Amen. Thank you. We should all be doing it. Anne and Leslie have put legs and arms on their thing. You know, they've not just looked at Ukraine and seen, oh, look at that. They've got up and done something about it, and the Lord's given us all that challenge this morning. So, hands of justice. The temple is a house of prayer, not a marketplace. Isaiah 56:7 says, these I will bring to my mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. You know, prayer shouldn't be a chore. It should be a joy. It should be a joy to come before the Lord every day. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, we are a temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We need to keep ourselves pure and holy. And that's the other temple I want to speak about, you and me. We are the temple. This is the building. We're the temple. We're the church of the living God. And Psalm 24 says, who shall, and this has been said a number of times recently by Stevie, and Avril mentioned it in her interpretation of the word the other week there, 2 weeks ago. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, or who will stand in his holy place? He who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We are a temple of the living God. And the Bible says also, be ye holy as I am holy, set apart for his service. Many years ago, we used to have a prayer meeting up in the creche up there on a Sunday morning that Jean took. And I remember walking up there one Sunday morning, and the Lord gave me a picture of somebody walking up with baggage, you know, this suitcase, heavy suitcase. And the Lord said, you know, you need to get rid of the baggage. We need to get rid of the baggage that hinders us. And it can hinder the Holy Spirit working in us if we're carrying a lot of baggage that we're not supposed to be carrying. We can carry sin, we can carry past hurts, we can carry unforgiveness, we can carry envy, anger, lots of things that we're never meant to carry. And it prevents the Holy Spirit working in us, and it prevents us from getting peace as well. So we need to let all the baggage go and allow God to heal our hearts and move forward. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know, Paul tells us, and I was thinking about this, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You ever thought about that? And obviously we can't go about with our eyes shut and our heads bowed. So that's obviously not what it means. Paul isn't referring to non-stop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness, every waking moment lived in awareness that God is with us and that he is actively involved in our thoughts and actions. Wow, that would make you a bit, should make you a bit uncomfortable. Does it make you feel uncomfortable? It certainly did me as I was preparing. I've lost count on how many times I've read or heard somebody quote this scripture the last few weeks or months. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Stevie's mentioned it. Peter Hall mentioned it last week. I've read every time I've looked something up or I've opened up a daily reading book, that verse has been, I'm thinking, oh, wow. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be anything in me that shouldn't be. God is looking for a people set apart, holy, pure, and walking in tune with the Spirit. When I was had prepared this, as I say, each day I've been going over it, and Stevie put an Instagram post. I don't know if you follow Stevie on Instagram, but I do. And it was, I can't remember the man's name, but it was about forgiveness. And when I read this, I'm thinking, wow. And this was about emotional forgiveness. It involves replacing the negative emotions with positive feelings of compassion, sympathy, and empathy. Hands of justice and compassion. He calls us to make choices that reflect who we already are. Change our conduct to fit our identity in Christ. Can I say that again? He calls us to make choices that reflect who we already are. Change our conduct to fit our identity in Christ. I want to pray Jesus' prayer for justice this morning. Hallowed be thy name. May the reverence we give your name pull us out of our selfishness that prevents us from seeing the pain of our neighbour. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Help us to operate, to create a world where we will act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with you and with each other. The third set of hands I want to speak on is the hands of provision, the miracle or the miracle working hands. And I'm reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And it's a reading, a passage you'll have heard preached on hundreds of times, I know I have. And it's about the feeding of the 5,000, but there's one verse in here that I want to dwell on. And it was when the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, he said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And it's that verse I'd like to dwell on today. You give them something to eat. Can you picture the reaction of the disciples? Can you picture, you know, if you were there, a crowd of 5,000, and Jesus said to you or me, you give them some tea, I'd be thinking, why? Where? How am I going to do that? So I can imagine that the disciples would actually look horrified and think, what? How are we going to do that? And then they look at the money side of things, because the next verse said that would take 8 months of a man's wages. But Jesus wasn't meaning that. He was meaning, what have you got in your hands? Find out what you've got in your hands and feed them. And then Jesus asked them to go and find out how many loaves they had. And they came back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know the story. Jesus broke the bread and blessed it, fed the 5,000 and got 12 basketfuls afterwards. There's a very similar thing that Jesus said to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. What is that in thine hand? He says to him. And I'm not going to read Exodus. If you want to read the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 4, please do that. But it's talking about when Jesus called Moses out, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses was not, kept making excuses. Who am I? He would pick somebody else. I can't speak. I think maybe Moses had a speech impediment because he said, I'm not eloquent, I can't speak, find it hard to speak. And he came up with every excuse under the sun. And Moses said, what is that in thine hand? And it was a staff, and he said, strike the ground. And he worked a miracle through that snake, etc. But he didn't use that twice, because when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea again, he said, what is that in thine hand? The staff. And he used the staff, and it parted the Red Sea. Moses used what he had in his hand. And God is asking the same thing of us today. What is that in your hand? What is it in your hand that God wants to use today? What is your gifting? What is in your hand? What has he called you to do? For some, it might be you're entering into a new season and you're not quite sure what's in your hand. You know, that God's still to reveal that to you. Maybe for some, well, you're making excuses. I don't have the time, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know what's available. You know, I don't know what jobs are needed in the church. I don't know what there is for me to do. Well, you find out. You know, that you go to the senior leaders if you don't know what's available in the church to do. Because, you know, God needs every single person in here to work to build his kingdom. We work in unity. It's not that we work against each other or one job's better than the other. We all work together to build God's kingdom. So we all need to play our part. We can't just sit in a chair and be comfortable. I did a sermon many years ago, and it was, are you sitting comfortably? Why? I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that was the title for, are you sitting comfortably? Why? We should never be comfortable, because God has got something for us to do. And when God calls, he equips. So don't ever say, I can't do that. I wouldn't be up here this morning if God doesn't equip. Or, you know, Josh has said, do not be afraid, be very courageous. You know, God gives us the courage. And there's something that you can do in God's house. You know, whether it's an act of service. Even somebody making the tea for after the service, that's a great job. You're providing refreshment to people. You know, whatever God's calling you to do, and it might be at the moment for some, you know, you can't get about so much. You can pray. You know, an intercessory prayer ministry. This lady here's got a great intercessory prayer ministry. She phones up I don't know how many people every day of the week praying with them. And Jean, so many people have, you know, that intercessory prayer ministry. There's something we can do. And for some, maybe it's the role of carer that you're called to do. Wherever your sphere of influence is, maybe you've got a very demanding job, that's where your sphere of influence is. Be Jesus in that place. You know, what is that in your hand? Whatever it is, offer your hands to God and say, here I am, use me, because I want to be part of building your church. The God's coming back for a triumphant church. He's coming back for a pure bride. So we all need to play our part. Bobby spoke about that on Tuesday night, about gifts. We need to look at, see what gifts people are. Stevie was talking about that this morning. You know, when you know there's people needed in the church to do stuff, so please don't just sit on a seat. Be part of building God's church. It's exciting. It's exciting. And when we all work in unity, God will come, you know, God will give the blessing. He'll grow. Our church is growing. It's wonderful to see our church growing. And then the very last one, only be a few minutes now, is the hands of sacrifice and invitation. And I probably know everybody in here, but there are people online maybe have just come in and really don't know who Jesus is. Well, this morning he's given you the hand of invitation. You know, the sacrifice, Jesus sacrificed throughout his life, sacrificed his time. You know, he never got the chance to be alone, very seldom. Crowds followed him, he healed, he taught everybody's needs. He was questioned, he was ridiculed, everything. But at that time when the Father said, my will be done, he stretched out his hands. And he made the ultimate sacrifice. He knew what he came to do. And even although he sweat drops of blood in that garden, that's my favourite. That's the bit that gets me in the Easter story. He sweat drops of blood. He did that for me. He went and he stretched out his hands. He was beaten and he was bruised for us. But he did it because the Father asked him to. He took on my sin and your sin and the sins of the world. And he's inviting you to come this morning. And you know, during the week, I got a picture when I was praying about this, and it was like an invitation card. And it was from Jesus inviting people to come and be part of his family. But you know, when you do an invitation to somebody, if you get a wedding invitation, it's got RSVP at the bottom. Rendezvous, thank you. I had that in my head this morning. Respond if you like. That was scored out so clearly, I could see that scored out. And in big letters at the bottom was ASAP. That's how urgent the Lord's saying now. We can't tarry much, we can't tarry any longer. It's ASAP. So if you're listening this morning online, whatever, and you don't know Jesus, come today. He's waiting with open arms, outstretched arms, and say, come. Come be part of my family. Come and feast at the banqueting table. I want you. You're my child. That's how much he loves us. And I'm going to say a prayer. And if this is what you need to say. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive this gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit and be with me. Amen. You know, Stevie said, finished his sermon, was it 3 weeks ago, Stevie? Can't quite remember. And he said, yield to the Spirit and yield to the seasons. I love that. Yield to the Spirit and yield to the seasons. And I'm looking to see, I've got a prayer that I want to finish with. And I just want to finish with this. Lord, I yield to you today. May my life be more than noise and consumption. May it be filled with action, driven by love. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jeanette. Lots and lots of things to think about there. I think if you get the essence, God is really speaking to his church. God is speaking to this church, but he's speaking to the church. I speak to ministers from different churches, different denominations. God is speaking to his church and God is stirring us up. And please expect to be stirred. Thank you for sharing, Jeanette. There's lots of things to mull over in what you've shared today. And I really believe you've sought the word of God for us. You've listened and you've shared and been obedient. And the call upon each of us is to put into practice what God is saying. So let's just finish our time with a word of prayer, then we're going to go for tea and coffee, and please feel free to stay, chat to somebody you don't know. Father, we thank you for your word to us in this place today. Lord, we covet your word, and Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus. He is the one who was described as the Word become flesh. John described Jesus that way. And Father, we just think of John there as an old man writing his gospel, full of years, full of wisdom. And Father, it's no coincidence that John is the one who writes most about love. And Father, we pray, I pray today that there are people in here today, may we grasp how deep your love is for us. Father, may we grasp, may we see it maybe for some of us for the first time, that you love us and that Jesus died for us and that love is beyond our understanding. Father, we pray, give us a fresh revelation of your incredible, vast love for us. And Father, may we be impacted by that as we go out into our week, as we go out into the rest of this day, whatever the day holds for us, as we go out into a week, whether it's in school, college, in the workplace, in the home, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, may we just find a fresh revelation and expression of your love for us. May we be your hands and feet in this world and just demonstrate the love of Christ. So, Father, we commit each one to you, every family, every heart, every soul, Father, all our challenges, Father, the prayers that we've already prayed in here today, Father, even for people who may be online at the moment and have not heard those prayers that were prayed earlier, Lord, we just commit them to you, and Lord, we look to you, the God of the impossible. And so, Father, bless us as you go into this week, and bless the work of our hands. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.